From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Near Eastridge.
Sunset.
Eastside, San Francisco.
Border of Venus.
Coming up, San Francisco is changing, and a lot of people are pointing to one big bad guy in town.
The Google bus.
The city has a parallel private transit system. Is it a force for evil?
When a bus pulls up full of kids with disabilities and I have to make the bus double park and wait for the Google bus to leave, it's pretty inconsiderate.
Or for good.
If you want to have an iPhone and you want to have a Facebook account or you want to use Google Maps, like, this is part of the price you're going to pay. Is you're going to have to see these big shuttles going through your town.
We're going for a ride today on Cross Currents. Earlier this year, local writer and Bay Area native Rebecca Solnit wrote an essay for the London Review of Books about an increasingly common sight on the city's streets.
The buses roll up to San Francisco's bus stops in the morning and evening, but they're unmarked, or nearly so, and not for the public. Most of them are gleaming white with dark-tinted windows like limousines.
She means the Google bus. It's one of many private shuttle buses taking employees of companies like Google, Apple, and Facebook from their San Francisco homes to their Silicon Valley jobs. From Solnit's perspective, these buses represent an economic gap that's destroying the very essence of the city. It's a viewpoint many people share. This past weekend, hundreds of people took to the streets in the Mission, where rents and eviction rates have soared over the past year, to protest what they describe as the loss of their neighborhood and to ask for it back. And there's a specific group of people they want it back from.
San Francisco cannot turn into a city that's just for the wealthy and the privileged. It has to be for everybody.
So I've recently been branded with this new term, techie. I've had labels in my life before, journalist, musician, student, even redhead. But this one's different. I wasn't quite prepared for this one.
Mary Willis is a journalist from Australia who moved to San Francisco with her husband when he got a job at Google. She's also a reporter at KLW. And when we started talking about the Google bus and what it represents, she had a very different perspective than those demonstrators.
We always thought of San Francisco as somewhere that was accepting, and we thought of the social history that it had. But then when we got here, it was a few weeks later that we started to hear things on the street. My husband started to say that he would get yelled at by passers-by when waiting at the Google bus stop to head down to his job in Silicon Valley. And then there was the gentrification, or the anti-gentrification protest, where protesters hit a piñata of a Google bus with a stick. Somehow and suddenly we were caught up in this war about the future of San Francisco. And I was the baddie. We were the baddies. And it got to a stage once where we were out at a bar and the couple that we were talking to were telling us how much they hated the tech industry and had pushed up their rents. And then when they asked us what my husband did, we actually lied and said that we were tourists, because that's the last thing we wanted to confess, that we worked in the tech industry.
Mary Willis is talking about her own personal experience, but this conflict affects all of us, whether we work in the tech industry or not. So today we're taking on the Google bus and some of the questions it raises about class privilege, innovation and evolution, who gets to live in the city, and what it means to work for the public good. We'll start where Mary left off, at Google Bus Ground Zero, the Mission District. It's not always a scene of protest. On weekday mornings, tech workers line up at the bus stops on 18th Street next to Dolores Park to wait for their shuttles. Now's a good time to point out that corporate transit is nothing new, though the volume of people using it is. About a decade ago, some of the only private shuttles belonged to UCSF. They were bringing people to their medical campus. In 2004, Google began offering free transportation to its headquarters in Mountain View. Yahoo started ferrying workers to Sunnyvale in 2005. Throw in Facebook, eBay, Apple, Visa, and Genentech, and you've got a lot of people waiting for non-Muni buses. There's one spot in the mission where the conflict over private versus public buses is especially heated. KLW's Liz Pfeffer headed over to that part of town to see the showdown firsthand.
Please hold on.
Around 8 in the morning, the long block of 18th Street along the park in Mission High School is a transit hub. Muni's 33 Stanion comes by about every 15 minutes. Huge Google and Facebook buses come by just as frequently. 18th is only a two-lane street. And some people say it isn't big enough for the both of them.
Google buses specifically take up, will park in the white zone where our special ed buses are supposed to park in the morning, and that can actually be very problematic.
Eric Guthertz is the principal of Mission High, and his office looks right out onto 18th Street.
We've had to move them out several times. They're not supposed to be there. And when a bus pulls up full of kids with disabilities, and I have to make the bus double park and wait for the Google bus to leave, it's pretty inconsiderate.
A Google spokesperson told me the company has no record of this happening and that they are notified when people complain. She declined to elaborate on how that process works, but Guthert says he's never actually filed a complaint. He just asks the bus drivers to move.
I've been here for 20 years or more, and I've been here at Mission High School for 12, and I lived down the street for a very long time. So, of course, the Google buses park right in front of my office, so I see them every morning.
Over the course of an hour the morning we spoke, not a single Muni bus was able to pull into the stop because there was always a tech shuttle sitting there. One 17-year-old on his way to school had to run into the middle of the street to board his bus. Guthert says the tech boom that produced his Google bus problem does have its benefits. It's also produced partnerships with companies teaching students computer entrepreneurship and programming.
It's a complicated question. I think that diversity is always positive, and I think change sort of in the city is inevitable. But on the flip, I still think that, you know, when you look at some of the housing issues, pricing folks out of the neighborhood and out of the community is problematic.
That's right. More shuttles mean more people with money living near the stops. A recent Craigslist search showed one-bedroom apartments in the Mission going for between $3,000 and $4,000. Overall, rent in San Francisco has gone up 27% in the past 2 years. And there's a tension emerging in the neighborhood between people who have been here long enough to notice the change and people who have never known it any other way.
My name is Curtis Nussbaum, Facebook. I live over 15th and Mission. I've been there about 5 weeks. From Valencia and over, it's pretty nice. The Mission area, especially around Mission 16th, is a little more sketchy, but it's nothing I'd feel like dangerous walking around.
Or Amber Norberg.
Waiting for my shuttle to work.
Where do you work?
Facebook. Yeah, I live on 17th. I lived here for the first year, lived in San Francisco, moved out to the marina for a while, and then came back. Yeah, I think it's definitely becoming more gentrified with more new stores and restaurants and bars opening up.
I don't know if I'm getting older and the neighbors are getting younger. You know, you see a lot of the younger tech people moving in, and I'm just starting to feel old for being 45.
Paul Gilio has lived in the neighborhood for 20 years. Like a lot of longtime residents I met, he says he's seen personally how the neighborhood's changed.
It's weird to be 45 and have to kind of rely on having a roommate now because the rents are now, like, so ridiculous.
My name's Jennifer, and yeah, I've been here for 2 years in this area. I'm just one block that way, so right around the corner from Byright. Well, I joke around saying that I'm the only Mexican on my block. I'm like, what the heck happened here? I thought this was supposed to be, when I first moved here, everyone said, this is all, a lot of Hispanics live here. And aside from them working at a lot of the restaurants here, I think, you know, I don't really see that many as my neighbors, which is sad because the rent is just so crazy.
This is Jennifer Hernandez, and she's right. Demographics have changed for the whiter. In 2011, the San Francisco Examiner reported that the Mission's white population has gone up over the past two decades to nearly 60%. Meanwhile, the Latino population has dropped from 52% down to less than 40% as people leave for less expensive areas. Still, though the rents are really high, some business owners say the upscaling of this area has been good for them. When I walk into the Pay and Save on Guerrero and 18th, Mick Rawajda tells me he's noticed a huge improvement in the neighborhood.
No, actually, I work here. My auntie, she owns it. Actually, back in the days, it used to be like, you know, excuse my language, ghetto, stuff like that. But now it's really big time change. Like, you know, nice neighborhood. Everybody care about each other. Nice restaurants, nice places. It's really nice, safe neighborhood.
It's true. A decade ago, Dolores Park was a different scene.
They used to call it Needle Park.
This is Marcia Rose. She's lived across the street from the park for 10 years.
So when I came to San Francisco, and when I was here before, the Mission was not the place to live. In fact, some of the people I used to know that have lived outside, moved out a long time, moved out of the city, were shocked when I moved to the Mission. They go, "You live in the Mission?" They still do today, ask me that. They're, "Really?" They don't have a clue that it's changed because I've not been back for years. And that's, it did not have that reputation. So that's how that goes.
That change may work to Rose's benefit. She's selling her flat, probably for a lot more than she bought it for. For Cross Currents, I'm Liz Pfeffer.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're taking you on what's often referred to as the Google Bus, these private shuttles that are a symbol of the tech boom in San Francisco. The conflict between tech buses and city buses isn't limited to the Mission. For the most part, the private shuttles await their passengers at over 200 muni stops around San Francisco. KALW's Isabel Angel reports on what transportation officials are doing to smooth out the tensions.
Private shuttles have been using muni stops in San Francisco for a while, but they've mostly been smaller buses for hospitals and universities. In the past few years, though, bigger charter buses for tech companies like Google and Genentech have also started to use muni stops. Kristen Holland is a spokesperson for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, or MTA, and she says all those shuttles have started to delay muni.
We're very focused on muni reliability, and it was having an impact, so we wanted to work with them to come up with some solutions.
Holland says it's hard to quantify the shuttle's total impact. But one thing the agency can measure is dwell time, or how long it takes to get passengers on and off their buses.
And for muni vehicles, that's about 20 seconds. But for these vehicles, because they have other concerns, it's about a minute. So when they're at that stop, they're taking a lot longer at that stop than another muni vehicle would.
Now, if you pull over in a muni stop and a police officer sees you, you'll get a ticket, a big ticket. And technically, the private buses could be cited too, but usually they're not. The companies also don't pay to use the public stops, which can create the impression they're getting special treatment. Holland says the MTA does get 2 to 3 complaints a week, but that the agency tries to resolve them directly, without issuing tickets. The city's also considered a few longer-term solutions. One is just to ban all shuttles. MTA officials wanted to know what would happen if they did that, so they surveyed shuttle riders about their commute habits. Turns out, the shuttles make about 35,000 trips a day, and without them, almost half the riders would commute by driving alone.
Which is something that would not help anybody in San Francisco, so it would be, you know, detrimental not only to our congestion, our traffic, and our economy, and our environment, it would be an even larger impact on muni.
That's something the MTA definitely doesn't want. Holland says one of the agency's main goals is to reduce congestion on city streets, and the buses are doing just that.
To a great extent, they want to use the pre-established transit stops that are muni stops, and so we need to work with them to create this program.
The program she's referring to doesn't exist yet. When it's up and running, it will limit the number of muni stops the shuttles can use to about 100, half of what they use today. Holland says the MTA is trying to be strategic.
Those would be some of our larger stops, but they would also be stops that don't have as high a frequency of muni service. So, you know, stops where muni's coming in and coming out frequently, we wouldn't want to use a stop like that or a stop that's a layover, a very critical space.
There are a few other new rules. Shuttles will have to be clearly marked and always give muni the right of way. Buses that violate the new rules will be fined. The MTA hasn't decided on a dollar amount, but the fine would depend on how many stops a shuttle provider makes within the city. More stops mean a higher fine. Holland says the new regulations should make muni boarding smoother and improve the system's reliability, while still helping the city keep cars off the road. And she says the companies that operate the buses have been responsive.
It's been a pretty close partnership. We sort of put together plans and then show them sort of a back and forth thing, because it won't work if it doesn't meet their needs too.
A Google spokesperson said the company has no comment about the proposed regulations. A Facebook rep said it's too early in the process to make a comment. And it's true, this pilot program is still a ways off. Holland says next, MTA staff will present the regulations to the agency's board, and the pilot should start sometime this winter. If all goes well, the MTA will look into making the new regulations permanent. For Cross Currents, I'm Isabel Angel.
This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. This idea of a partnership of the tech companies and the city working together to improve everyone's quality of life, that's something Greg Hoy can get behind.
So I think it's just the conversation needs to be taken to a different level of like, okay, this exists now, and this goes back to even the gentrification conversation. Like, this is like how things are, and how do we do it in a way that is the most balanced for everyone involved, the community, the business, the people doing the commuting, all that.
Hoy used to work for Facebook. For about 2 years, he took that shuttle from his home in the Mission down to the company's campus. These days, he works for Pinterest in Soma. He walks to work now. And he told us on a recent walk that he finds a lot of the bus controversy frustrating.
If you want to have an iPhone and you want to have a Facebook account or you want to use Google Maps, like, this is part of the price you're going to pay, is you're going to have to see these big shuttles going through your town.
We wanted to hear from a company that runs one of these buses, so we called Genentech, the biotech firm in South San Francisco that was one of the first to offer shuttle services to its employees. It's now one of the company's most popular benefits. Vice President of Site Services Carla Baragno came by the studio to talk about what's known as G-Ride, why the company does it, how it's working, and how she thinks it affects the Bay Area as a whole. Did it surprise you that essentially these private buses, what I think is being kind of popularly called the Google bus, which encapsulates all of these private transportation systems. Did it surprise you that that became the symbol of the kind of conflict around the tech boom?
You know, it did surprise me. And it's curious because it's such a positive thing. Where we're taking cars off the road, we're taking congestion and we're lowering the congestion, and it's good for the environment. And it's also good for the communities that we serve. And, you know, where we're located in South San Francisco, we don't have a lot of direct public transportation. And so if we can have a program that gets employees to our campus and a program that actually complements public transportation. So we do have employees, again, that take Caltrain, that take BART, that take the ferry, and our buses connect up with those locations closest to us and gets the employees from public transportation out to where we are east of 101 in South San Francisco.
Well, and so the big criticisms that I think that I've heard is the sense that, you know, the techies are too good for public transportation, that they need these kind of, you know, high-gloss luxury buses that go door-to-door. The other big criticism is that they're using kind of public spaces and taking up, hogging the road and making it difficult for pedestrians and bikes and muni buses, for example. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is this fear that somehow creating this private system is opting out of the public infrastructure, and that if people with a high stake in the system, like these high-tech workers, like Genentech, like Facebook, like Google, et cetera, you know, were working to make the public system better, that would be good for everybody. What do you think of some of those criticisms? Those are kind of the big three that I can think of.
Yeah, well, I can see how people in San Francisco may feel that way. Sort of on the surface. But if we look at the program that we have at Genentech, we actually service 56 communities. So we go as far north as Novato, as far east as Vacaville, as far south as San Jose. And so we look at those communities where we have high concentrations of employees and where perhaps public transportation isn't that great. And I sort of look at this program as a way to complement what exists right now in public transportation. And again, our program also encourages folks that do have access to Caltrain, BART, and Ferry to take those. And we have a lot of employees that do take those because it may be where they're located in San Francisco, they're actually closer to a BART train or BART's stop. So they'll take BART. And then again, from the Millbrae BART station, our bus will take them from Millbrae to South San Francisco, because we don't have out east of 101, we actually don't have that convenient access.
And do you think that there's anything that's fair about the criticisms that are being levied at these kind of private buses, private shuttle system?
You know, I think that people are entitled to have their opinions. I think what I would like to see is that people actually look at the broader picture, which is getting cars off the road, the positive impact on the environment. And I think the other thing is that when employees at Genentech are first starting, and if we have to relocate folks, they're actually asking, what communities do you serve? Because we actually may want to choose to live near a bus stop. So we actually do have employees that will look in San Francisco because they want to be able to live in San Francisco. And if it's convenient to one of our bus stops or public transportation. So I see that as a good thing because it's bringing people into the city. Not necessarily taking people out of the city.
And what I had read about the private shuttles is that they are regulated by the state, not local officials. Did you have to do negotiation with San Francisco to figure out where the stops would be and any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, we want to proactively work with the city and county of San Francisco. And we actually think that they're... is a way that we can actually coexist together because we don't want to create havoc in San Francisco. That's the last thing we want to do because, again, we have employees that live in San Francisco. And so what we want is we don't want our buses to interrupt the Muni bus stops. And we're actually glad to be working with the SFMTA to be able to figure out a program that is going to allow us to continue to... be able to, you know, work in harmony with public transportation in San Francisco.
And what about this fear of not being part of the public sector, that, you know, creating these parallel systems, these private systems, means that you and the people that are riding in this private kind of comfortable system don't have a stake in the public, in the commons?
Well, I think we actually do have a stake in the commons. And I think that's where, again, our program encourages folks to take public transportation, where, again, we incent our employees and we reimburse them for their BART ticket, their ferry ticket, and for their Caltrain ticket. So, again, I think it works hand in hand and complementary. And I actually don't think it's in conflict.
And anything that you'd want to say to somebody, maybe a long-term resident of the Mission or one of these places where you're seeing real conflict around the tech boom and kind of the new infrastructure that's being created and this sense of we're being pushed out by this tech industry, by this behemoth? Do you have a message that you'd like to send?
Well, you know, I can't really speak for some of the high-tech companies, but I can speak for Genentech. And when I think about what our core mission at Genentech is, it's about saving lives. And when, you know, our patients are really our passion and developing medicines to treat these critically, you know, unmet medical needs is what we're about. And so I would actually say to the residents in San Francisco and then in the communities that our buses serve is embrace this and getting, I think, employees to Genentech safely and in a manner that's not stressed out is actually good for our patients because our employees can come to work and they can discover new novel medicines. And we're proud of that. And it's one of the reasons why I've been at Genentech as long as I have is we do some really cool stuff. And we want to partner with the communities in which our buses go through. And so we're starting to do some outreach and some programs in San Francisco. We're actually sponsoring a... Sunday street party, and so we actually want to be part of the community and not be separate from it.
Carla Borraño is Vice President of Site Services for Genentech.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're talking about the so-called Google buses, the private corporate shuttles that seem to be multiplying in San Francisco. We're talking so much about them, in fact, that it would seem like a pretty big oversight if we didn't actually take you on one. KLW's Christina Loring recently started to take a special interest in the private shuttles as a way to get herself around the city.
They have cushy seats and Wi-Fi and a sunroof, and their buses all come on time. So I thought, you know, maybe they'd have room for one more.
Around that same time, Stamen, a design and tech studio in the Mission, was also watching the shuttle network and tracing it. They designed a map showing all of the shuttle routes. Loring decided to use it as her treasure map.
Yes, and the treasure would be a cushy and convenient ride all the way to the Mission.
We'll let Christina tell you the rest of the story.
Before I could get on a shuttle bus, I needed help from some insiders. And I have friends that work at Apple and Google, and of course they would want to help me. But when I reached out to them for an interview...
I don't think I will. I don't think I want to.
Everyone gave me a resounding no. I promised I'd grant them anonymity and distort their voices to protect their identities. No way, they said. So, okay, if my tech friends couldn't help, I'd just have to go to the bus on my own. Would anyone help this private transportation hitchhiker?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
I was just asking him. I was going to see if I could take the bus to, like, sort of, like, hitchhike to the Mission. Do you think that they would let me get on and get off at the Mission?
Spoiler alert. The response was basically a fat no way. A Google badge is the ultimate passport from San Francisco to the Valley. And this Google employee let me know that security was really tight. But still, I had to try. My plan was wear all black, some nice shiny red shoes, glue my eyes to my phone screen, and clutch my bright blue backpack. I'm 28, white, and blonde. I don't have any Google gear, so I thought this was the next best thing. At first, things were going great. A Google employee came running up to me to ask if he had missed the bus to San Bruno. So I must have looked the part. But eventually, I gave up on Google. That was the last stop before they were going to the Valley, and I needed to get to the Mission. A few blocks away, though, I hit a hitchhiker's goldmine. This street intersection had stops for Facebook, Apple, and Electronic Arts. Only a few people were standing around. There were no long lines. And they were laughing and talking. It was a totally different feeling than the Google spot. Maybe because Facebook's a social company, I don't know.
Sorry, can I ask you a question? Is this bus gonna go through the Mission, or?
The Facebook guys told me the same thing as the Google guys. I would need a badge. But they were totally into scheming with me. So for those listeners taking notes, here are some ideas. I could look like a hot mess who misplaced her badge. I could pretend I'm a non-English-speaking tourist who's terribly lost. I could act like I'm part of the cult of Apple. Except one guy pointed out that that probably wouldn't work with my, quote, 3GS phone. Ugh. The bus pulled up. It was go time.
None of you would want to be like, oh, Christina's in my project team.
No.
Hi. I don't have my badge today. Is it possible that I can just hop on without it? Okay.
I was totally in.
I made it on the Facebook bus. So we are going through DeBose. Church, we're passing the Safeway, and this is such a nice bus. I hope the Facebook police don't come and take me away. There's one more stop before they're gonna head down to Mountain View. Everybody has headphones on or a laptop out, and my comrades will not look me in the eye right now.
I felt like I was in a spaceship or a submarine. The bus was so quiet.
just a few people riding. I could have stayed there all morning, but that was not my mission.
So here we go. I have to get off in the mission right now before things get weird and I get sent to Facebook prison. The stop is really popular. I wonder if I can just slip by without anyone noticing.
At this point, I had to confess.
I just wanted to get to the mission and see if I could hitchhike it.
The bus driver laughed, but I had to go. As I walked back up Church Street towards my house in Western Addition, I felt this extreme high for a mission accomplished. But the truth is, next time I need to get somewhere, I'll stick with a different gleaming white private ride. My bike. In San Francisco, I'm Christina Loring for Cross Currents.
On one level, the story of the Google buses is just a story of transportation. There are a lot of ways to get around, and this is one of them. But on a deeper level, it's about what it means to be part of the city. We want to know what you think about the city's relationship with tech companies and tech shuttles. Can the tension between public and private be bridged? Can we coexist peacefully? Are private shuttles being unfairly vilified? How would you solve these problems? You can call and join the conversation at 415-264-7106. I'm going to give that number again. Just leave us a message with your thoughts at 415-264-7106.
Good morning. Time to get up and go to work. I ride on the bus into the city every day. I sit on a seat and I dream myself away.
And that's all for today's edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Our show today was produced by Casey Miner with help from Julie Kane, Leela Day, Laura Flynn, Christina Loring, Seth Samuel, and Rachel Wong. The show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Our senior producer is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, we are commercial-free, listener-supported radio.
All right, get off the bus.
Americana is the catch-all phrase for the sound of a lot of hairy musicians these days. But San Francisco's Tiny Television, who you're hearing now, has been playing this style longer than that term has even existed. As one reviewer says, their sound is so familiar but feels undeniably new. Tiny Television is the opening band for Kelly McFarling on Saturday, part of the SF Live Arts series at St. Cyprian's Church in San Francisco. Music starts at about 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. 16th.